Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know, Thursday, the 15th of April, 2021. Today, what protesters are saying on the ground in Minnesota, plus new sanctions on Russia, and more. Here are some of the top headlines. Democrats are set to introduce a bill that would expand the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 justices. Some progressive groups and several Republicans have already spoken out against the move, but prominent Democrat Jerry Nadler, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, is among those introducing the bill. India reported more than 200,000 new coronavirus cases on Thursday, moving past 14 million overall. The virus surge is slamming the country's fragile healthcare system, and in the capital of New Delhi, more than a dozen hotels and wedding banquet halls have been ordered to convert into COVID-19 centers attached to hospitals. And Major League Baseball had its second no-hitter of the young 2021 season Wednesday night. The Chicago White Sox Carlos Rodon grabbed the franchise's 20th no-hitter in history and came less than an inning away from a perfect game, broken up with one out in the ninth thanks to a hit batter. It was a fourth night of protests in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, outside Minneapolis.
What's his name?
Stop it, right?
What's his name? Come
on, guys!
There was a 10 p.m. curfew in the city, and like the previous night, police announced that the assembly was unlawful about an hour before. Police also fired rubber bullets at the crowd. At one point, there were several hundred demonstrators outside the Brooklyn Center Police Headquarters. Protesters have told USA Today this week that they're searching for justice amid a wave of high-profile police killings, including the latest, the fatal shooting of Dante Wright. Emmanuel Williams said people of color around the country feel like they're under attack.
Being a black male in America, you know, I feel like it's very important to be out here and, you know, connecting with the community in these trying times, as, you know, I feel like a lot of people of color and minorities in America are feeling like we're under attack. I think it takes a lot more than just chanting and marching, but I also think that chanting and marching is, you know, a very important foundational step in getting your voice heard. I think, of course, you know, living in the country that we do in a democracy, you know, we need to come out, we need to vote, we need to have our voices heard, not only in protests and march, but also in the democratic way of voting, politicians, administration, and really changing things from bottom up. But I think, you know, in order to change things from bottom up, you have to have a foundation and a bottom to build off of. And I think this is exactly where we get that. You get people out, you get people listening, you get people paying attention, and most importantly, you get people learning and changing their opinions about what has been seen traditionally as a civil servant in the United States.
And Kiri Novotny expressed a feeling of exhaustion with another police killing in the same community as George Floyd.
Just the injustice of it all, like, it's not even been a year since George Floyd. Like, the trial of Derek Chauvin is going on, like, less than 10 miles away from here, and then they do it again, and it's just unacceptable. It's so saddening to see. We have been begging for our lives forever. I mean, like, we've lived in a system of oppression for over 400 years. Like, the more we protest, the more they hear us, then hopefully we get the justice and, like, respect we deserve, and that they don't keep killing us on the street for no reason.
Protests have also popped up around the country this week. In Los Angeles, a vigil was held Wednesday night outside police headquarters. And on Tuesday, a group of protesters forced their way into police headquarters in Columbus, Ohio. Back in Minnesota, former police officer Kim Potter, the officer who fatally shot Wright in Brooklyn Center, was arrested on Wednesday and charged with second-degree manslaughter. She later posted bond and was released, but Potter is due for an initial court appearance on Thursday. According to Minnesota law, if found guilty, she faces up to 10 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. City officials in Chicago will release body camera video on Thursday showing the fatal police shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo. The release comes after his family viewed the video earlier this week. In addition to the body cam footage, transmissions from the city's Office of Emergency Management and Communications will also be released, as will recordings from ShotSpotter, a system that detects gunfire. Additionally, response and arrest reports will be made public. Adam Toledo was killed in the early morning hours of March 29th. Police responded after ShotSpotter detected 8 gunshots. When police arrived, Adam and a 21-year-old man fled. Police say an officer then shot Adam once in the chest after what police call an armed confrontation. The officer still has not been publicly identified and has been placed on administrative leave for 30 days. The head of the community council in Little Village, the neighborhood where Adam died, spoke out at a protest on Wednesday. He asked Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to share the truth of what happened to Adam. Lightfoot said Wednesday that she's seen multiple videos of the shooting, but would not comment on details. The defense will call at least one more witness in the trial of Derek Chauvin. That comes after Judge Peter Cahill initially suggested the defense would finish calling witnesses on Wednesday, but at the end of the day, the judge made note of one more. Wednesday saw 5 hours of testimony from defense medical expert Dr. David Fowler. He called George Floyd's death, which came after he was pinned under former officer Chauvin's knee, undetermined. Fowler is the former head of the medical examiner's office in Maryland, and he said he believes Floyd had a sudden cardiac arrhythmia while being restrained by police due to underlying heart issues.
Did you form, in your opinion, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, what you thought was the principal cause of Mr. Floyd's death?
Yes.
And what is that?
Cardiac arrhythmia due to hypertensive atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease during restraint.
How would you classify the manner of death?
The carbon monoxide would usually be classified as an accident, although somebody was holding him there. So some people would say you could elevate that to a homicide. You've got the drugs on board. In most circumstances, in most jurisdictions, a drug intoxication would be considered to be an accident. He's got significant natural disease, certainly the heart, paraganglionoma. You know, you can certainly consider it as a potential exacerbating process, but I wouldn't put it at the top of the list there. So he's got a mixture of that. And then he's in a situation where he's been restrained in a very stressful situation. And that increased his fight and flight type reaction. And that would, during restraint, would be considered a homicide. And you put all of those together, it's very difficult to say which of those is the most accurate. So I would fall back to undetermined.
Fowler's testimony goes against a number of prosecution witnesses who called the death a homicide. Several said that Floyd died of low oxygen due to law enforcement restraint. The spotlight is back on a decades-long cold case in California. The prime suspect in the 25-year disappearance of college student Kristen Smart was arrested on Tuesday on suspicion of murder and will be arraigned on Thursday. San Luis Obispo County District Attorney Dan Dow.
I'm announcing the filing of a felony criminal complaint against two men, Paul Flores and his father, Ruben Flores. The charge against Paul Flores is murder. It is alleged that Mr. Flores caused the death of Kristen Smart while in the commission of or attempted rape. That is first-degree murder under California law. Reuben is charged with accessory after the fact to murder. The allegation against Reuben is that he helped to conceal Kristen's body after the murder was committed. Significant new information has come in to the sheriff's office that we've reviewed over the last 2 years, and some very important information just a month ago. We've got physical evidence, we have witness statements, things that, in our view, in the totality, have brought us to the point where we believe we can go forward and prosecute Mr. Flores for the murder of Kristen Smart.
Kristen Smart was 19 years old when she vanished in May of 1996 while returning to her dorm at California Polytechnic University in San Luis Obispo after a party. She was last seen with the suspect, Paul Flores, who was a student at the time. Smart's body has not yet been recovered by police, but authorities say that physical evidence linked to her has been found. The Biden administration on Thursday will announce new sanctions on Russia. The move comes in response to the Russian hacking campaign that broke into federal agencies and in response to election interference. The sanctions will be the first retaliation against last year's hack, known as the SolarWinds breach. Russian hackers are believed to have infected software with code that helped them access the networks of at least 9 agencies. Tensions are already high this week between the two countries. President Joe Biden told Russian President Vladimir Putin that the U.S. would act firmly in defense of its national interests. On Wednesday, Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines also told Senate lawmakers that Russia, along with China and the coronavirus pandemic, are top global threats.
We assess that Moscow will continue to employ a variety of tactics to undermine U.S. influence and erode Western alliances. While Russia does not want a conflict with the United States, Russian officials have long believed that Washington is seeking to weaken Russia. And Moscow will use a range of tools to pursue its objectives, including mercenary operations, assassinations, and arms sales. It will also employ, as we've reported publicly, new weapons and cyber capabilities to threaten the United States and its allies, and seeks to use malign influence campaigns, including in the context of U.S. elections, to undermine our global standing, sow discord, and influence U.S. decision-making.
For more on the sanctions, stay with usatoday.com. And thanks for listening to 5 Things. A reminder, you can find us wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts, and there you can drop us 5 stars and a review if you have a second. Thanks to Shannon Green, Claire Thornton, and reporter Dennis Wagner for their work on the show. 5 Things is part of the USA Today Network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.